Hey everybody, today's show is brought to you by Squarespace. You know Squarespace, did those cool Keanu Reeves commercials before the Super Bowl. They were amazing. And anyway, here's what I want to tell you. The future is coming. I don't know if they wanted me to read it like that, but the future is coming, so make it brighter with Squarespace. Squarespace makes it easy to turn your ideas into a unique website. Showcase your work, your blog, publish content, even sell products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks. Mouse clicks, that is. Anyway, you can customize everything from the look and feel to settings and products using beautiful templates created by world-class designers, and there's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. How do I know? Because I got two of these websites. They're easy. They're great. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I am excited about this podcast. I, like you, probably want to always learn, be smarter. And sometimes I'll read a news story and I'll be like, I get it, but do I really get it? And this is where the Vox podcast comes in. Okay. Vox is a newsletter that I've been subscribing to for a long time and a website. And now they are basically taking their version of the news, which is distilling all the noise about news, policy, and culture, and then just kind of explaining it to you in very simple ways. They have a new podcast with an episode every afternoon. It's called Today Explained. I've already listened to the first three episodes, and it basically answers all the big questions about today's news. It's like, yes, we understand these bigger issues about things like the NRA or Russia, but what does it actually mean? Where does it actually come from? And they do a great job of breaking it down. And when you're done listening, you actually feel smart. You actually feel like, oh, I got better because of this. I can actually be more interesting to have a conversation because I understand the backstory. So subscribe now in your favorite podcast app like Stitcher or Apple Podcasts. It's called Today Explained, and it will be waiting for you every single day, whether you're winding down or psyching up. Hey, everybody. Just want to let you know that we are doing a live show in Los Angeles on 329. It's a Thursday. It's a How Did This Get Made all-star show. Hopefully, the show is not sold out by the time you hear this, but it might be. It's me, Jason, and two special guests in Los Angeles, 329, 830 show. Come check it out. We are coming to Chicago. That's right, Jason, June, and Paul. We will all be there at the Anthem Theater on June 2nd, 7 and 10 p.m. And you know what? If those shows sell out, we might even add some more. It's all up to you. Please come. Come out. We are so excited to be in Chicago as part of the Onion Comedy Festival. If you want tickets, go head over to our Twitter page or our Facebook page, or just sign up for our mailing list and we will give you all the information. Tickets are on sale right now. Go get them. Thank you. We'll see you in Chicago. It's like a non-consensual Mrs. Doubtfire with a lot more pedophilia jokes. We saw ladybugs, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Gaines and Street Fighter helped to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado the Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth. And hello, people of Los Angeles. We are live at Largo, our home in L.A., for a very exciting night to talk about a very important movie. The film is Ladybugs. It's a movie that you might think, I loved that when I was a kid. And chances are you haven't seen it in 30 years. Let's get into it. But first, let me bring out my co-host, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas. Welcome, Jason.
How we doing, everybody?
Hey. Ladybugs.
I feel like I could be arrested for having watched this movie. Also, please stand up.
Oh, we have two members.
There are ladybugs in the audience! Give Amazing. It up for the ladybugs!
We have two members of our audience dressed in the appropriate ladybugs jerseys. Amazing. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Eagle Eye Jason Mantzoukas. Well, we have a lot to talk about. And I'm going to bring out someone who has a definite point of view. A person who, when I told her the movie it was, she said, "That's my favorite movie." Please welcome June Diane Raphael.
It was one of my favorite movies. I remember where I was when I saw it. I'm pretty sure I saw this movie at like 12 or 13. What year did it come out?
1992.
Yes,
surprising.
I was 12 and I remember seeing it.
Yes.
And thinking, this is a great motion picture. This has a cute boy. I was a soccer player. This has soccer. This, for me, checked off all the boxes.
And
when you're talking about cute boy, you're talking about Rodney Dangerfield.
Of course. Okay, I don't even know where to begin. Is he okay?
Rodney Dangerfield?
I know we have a lot more, but is he okay?
In the movie or currently? He has passed. If that's
okay,
what you're wondering.
I'm sorry. Of course. Was he okay, though, shooting this?
Of course he was. He's just like a totally cool dude trying to figure out life with Bess.
Oh.
A woman conservatively 60 years younger than him? Right? He is, what, 93 in this movie? I have so many questions.
We'll get into them all.
Like, also, I want to know, was it a crime for me to have watched this? Am I on a watch?
You are on a watch. If you watch this on your computer, this can be used as evidence against you.
Some sort of trial.
Like this, I felt dirtier watching this on my computer than things that make a lot of pop-ups appear.
We have saved ladybugs for a long time because we wanted to have a very special guest to talk about it. You recognize our next guest. He was in episode 20 of How Did This Get Made. It's been a long time coming. Punisher Warzone, his new special, Annihilation, is now streaming on Netflix. Please welcome Mr. Patton Oswalt. Well. Wow. Welcome back, Patton.
Thank you so much. I had to watch this on iTunes because my Criterion disc was late.
Oh, did you pay for it?
Yeah.
Huge mistake. It's streaming free on Pornhub for some reason.
I hate it. I hate all
And even
of
they
this.
Cut
Pornhub banned
out.
It. They're like, wow. It's a lit.
Pornhub is like, I don't know, this seems crazy.
But it got some really positive comments on iTunes. Someone named Roy Moore, like, loved it. Like, gave it, like, 5 stars and just thought it was amazing. Absolutely loved it.
Keeping Roy Moore jokes still alive. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, let's just... There's so much to cover. The first being... This is a children's movie, right?
Okay. It, like, right?
No,
first question I wrote, is this a kid's movie? Who is this for?
It's a PG-13 film, but arguably, you would imagine, it's like it's supposed to be like Bad News Bears, except they eliminate all the Bad News Bears part, essentially.
Right.
It's
like
Bad News Bears if you were more excited about Walter Matthau.
Right. If Walter Matthau was maybe a perv?
Which See, we I know Mathau is a total perv.
I think this movie must have been written for a much younger gentleman.
100%.
Yes.
Who is actually like going to get married for, you know, in his 40s.
Right.
I think it was written for, and then the movie sort of makes
sure
sense. I mean, Ish. As it is now, it is unacceptable.
Yeah.
He's trying to get a promotion at work when he should literally be retired.
Yes.
Yeah. The only reason for him to need to see his boss is for his boss to give him a watch and say, yeah, thank you for your service. Yeah. Good. Enjoy your retirement.
Honestly,
you are almost
dead. He should be thinking is doing the calculation of like, how many good years do I have left?
Right. Yeah.
And do I really want to spend like 9 to 5 clocking in here and making some like
Mullins.
Tough decisions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anyone know what Mullins does? Oh. Because I wrote down a couple things.
I have so many questions.
Like, all right, so there's like a blueprint of like a nuclear reactor in one scene.
There is
an architectural model in another.
Everywhere. Right. Everywhere are architectural models. Also, Rodney Dangerfield's own office is just covered in fish diagrams, all different kinds of fish.
In, there's one scene he walks by a topographical board with blinking lights on it that people are monitoring.
And he is saying
that he's the best salesman.
Yes.
So what is he saying? How can you be the best salesman?
Yes.
Of land?
Of what? Okay,
here's my theory, right? Just from what you just said. It's a company that is building these new, completely nuclear powered cities, but the cities are poisoning fish. So Rodney's job is to convince people
that the
fish are actually not being poisoned, and he is selling people. He's like a reverse Aaron Brockovich, where he goes out and tells people, no, these nuclear bans are great for your fish. Do not worry about it. And that's what he does.
So, but I mean, like, if you look at Rodney's office, what could he be selling? Is he selling fish?
There's the reward. He got the silver fish for convincing the most people that the nuclear power was safe for their fish, right?
But
there,
look,
he won.
Each of the pictures above it is like, he's holding a giant check. Why is he holding a giant check?
And by the way, same building, different
thing.
Different.
What? And then there's a picture of him holding a fish down there.
Well, if we're talking about weird offices, we got to talk about the boss's office.
Oh my God.
Which has a Native American chief, tons of stuff. I got three different pictures here. A Boston Terrier stuffed.
A sarcophagus. There's a sarcophagus there. This is what I think.
And just a lot of trophies.
I think the director said to the props and was like, or the set decorators was just like, just fill the office full of, you know, like CEO stuff. They went to like the props room on the lot and just got props from like the last 60 years of film and just put everything in there.
I know there's a lot to talk about in the film, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the opening that's kind of parodying Nazism?
Yes.
A little bit. He's going to a self-help seminar that, when you first see it, it looks like there's a Nazi, he's speaking in German behind a red, black, and white flag.
Yeah, it's red, black, and white, but it's Steve Landisberg, right, who is... They got this beloved Jewish actor to play a goateed Nazi.
He looks like Lenin.
Yeah.
He has like Lenin's mustache combination.
And
Judd Hirsch is Hitler.
Wait, what? I also couldn't figure out why is he at the self-help seminar. He states on multiple occasions he is their number one salesman.
Yes.
He's apparently very good at his job.
This is so baffling. I'm still struggling to understand like his motivation throughout all of this because correct me if I'm wrong, wants to get the promotion so that he can pay for a wedding.
No, so that he can support Bess
so that
Bess
doesn't
can leave
have
her job.
To work.
Yes.
Yes.
And is it clear that Bess doesn't like her job or she's...
I honestly...
She's just always been waiting to...
I didn't know Bess worked.
Bess at one point says, I'm on my lunch break. I came to see the soccer game, which makes me go, when are they playing soccer? or what hours does she work, because something is off.
Also, and also, again, not like so Bess can retire. It's just like so she can finally be freed from this like career path that she's never wanted.
Yes. Yes, he wants
a career path that is like clearly bought her a house and the things seem to be okay. And she also doesn't seem like an angry or sad person, which is a little weird.
She doesn't, you don't hear her say she hates her job.
Right,
she
right.
But the self-help meeting that he is going to, part of it is, I'm good enough, or I'm a good person. Then the end of it is like, hey, make sure that your boss is taller than you so you can kiss your boss's ass. So it's a weird self-help thing. It's like, build you up, but also remember you're a piece of shit. Like, it's like it's a weird, it's two weird ideas. And the whole opening of the movie could just be removed from everything. Like, he's like looking at himself in a mirror. He pulls up to a truck that has like a bumper sticker that says like, you wish on it. And someone's like, you're an asshole. And he goes, there's a reason for it, but you're contagious. Then the guy jumps out of the car and never comes back.
Then he also drives away and it's a green light. They could easily chase him. They just say like, what are we supposed to do? Get in your truck and follow him?
Yes. Why would you? He's in a minivan. You're in a monster truck.
Yeah, exactly.
You could catch up to him immediately. Yeah.
But
and
that...
also though, well, why does the company want or need a thriving soccer team to sponsor? I mean, that I could never wrap my mind around.
Also,
like,
youth,
what did it for
like
them?
A child soccer team, like right. Not like it's like a pizza place with like hey yeah we give money and we get help by them uniforms. It's like that level of soccer. Yeah,
but that's
team.
What I didn't understand. So if you're a corporation or a company and there's a local like intramural sport that kids play that you want to sponsor, like great, you probably buy the uniforms.
Right, right.
That's great. But why would they want that team to do so well?
Well, yeah. it appears as though the man whose company it is, his entire sex life
is based
predicated on
that
the team's
team
victory.
Does.
His wife is basically like, if you want to get laid, like the Ladybugs better be the champs.
And which so is, I guess I ask, why does she need them to be the champs?
Yeah, great right. question.
But then, if you work at Mullen Industries, you're brought into like champagne toasts to celebrate each win, which is being written about in the paper, but being sparsely attended in real life.
Well, it's on the front page of the paper.
Yeah.
And if you notice, the film is so lazy, I couldn't help noticing this. It was just a headline over this generic story about baseball, about Cleveland baseball. And the reason that I noticed that is because, and I didn't pause it, they held way too long on the headline to give you time to go, and then the new pitcher, wait a minute, there's no pitcher. Like, and it was the exact, all three headlines were the same story about the Cleveland pitching. It was the weirdest, like they didn't even bother. Like if you're going to just type up they literally show one paragraph, so they couldn't have a guy go, the Ladybug soccer team, but no, they just slap it down and the Cincinnati pitching's there. Like what didn't even try. But it is, you're right, it's on the front page of that city sports page.
It looks like a thriving city. He's not like in a small town. And by the way, we're not even talking about the problematic areas. These are the broad brushstrokes.
This is what I was going to introduce, actually, which is it's an independent girls' soccer league that is not associated with a school that appears to have girls of ages like 10 or 11 to like 16, 17.
There's
the girl who's like, I'm 12, almost 13. I'm looking for cute guys. And like, she gives like a singles ad version of herself where cute guys is every other thing.
And she's way too made up for her age.
Unless
her parents are about to like ship her to Thailand. No parent would let their girl go out. Look, it's
she's
really creepy.
Young.
Yeah.
Well, she does a great move though when, spoiler alert, when it's revealed that they've been playing with a boy all soccer season. When he takes off his wig, she like straightens up like, hey, hi. Like in an attempt to woo him as if he has not been playing with her all season.
She's also the one that when the opposing team breaks her nail,
yes.
She like eats two cans of spinach like Popeye and goes insane. She it's like the switch is flipped and she goes bananas.
Yeah. Well, should talk about, like, get to the ending of the movie, because the ending is insane, but it's the most lean movie ever, and I think the reason why it's like an hour and 26 minutes is because they take out all the parts that you would traditionally see. There's really no love story. Like, that's what you're kind of, like, the idea is, like, this young boy is dressed up as a girl because he likes the girl on the team, so you would see some interplay there. That really doesn't happen.
That would be the case if this movie was, as it probably should have been, about the kids.
Right.
This is a kids' movie that is about Rodney Dangerfield.
It's just so incredible. I mean, it doesn't even need to be said, but it's so uncomfortable to watch him with children.
Oh, yeah.
It is just...
Okay.
So incredibly uncomfortable.
Because every area of life they want to ask him about, he should not be giving them any advice about, or any, not just him, any adult should be talking about that at all. It is never not immediately uncomfortable when those scenes happen.
To have him convince a young pubescent girl that she is beautiful was violently upsetting to me.
No, the scene in which they are trying on clothes in the dressing room.
Oh my God.
And the mother and the child are outside of the dressing room. So it is just a pedophile, I'm fucking this kid in the dressing room of a store, is the joke.
Yes.
In a kid's movie.
Right.
This is a children's movie, and the joke is...
That an older woman thinks that a kid is being fucked in a dressing room, and that. And by the way, I will give that actress credit. When they walk out of the dressing room and she thinks that he has been molesting her, she commits
so hard
that, like, it
so
looked like
hard.
She got hurt. Like, I was like, it was amazing. God.
I looked it up. That actress died.
Really?
That was really hard to watch.
By the way, though, movie clearly, I mean, this movie hates women, that's clear, but every woman who's not a girl, who's a grown adult woman, who Rodney does not want to fuck, is in, like, a Laura Ashley dress.
Yeah.
And is fucking insane. Like, every older woman in this scene, in this movie, who's not fuckable to Rodney Dangerfield is treated
I would argue that bananas. Every woman is fuckable to Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah. Like, don't you feel that? Like, he tries with everyone. Like,
no,
he,
and it, but yeah. By the way, like, the one thing that did occur to me is Jackie... Is
Jack Hay.
Is not he doesn't actually want to fuck.
No.
There's a really, really offensive scene in an elevator.
Oh, yeah.
Says, like, hey, something with your kids or that you're married, and they react like, what? And
the insinuation is that they're an interracial couple.
Like, what? And he, I've never seen his eyes bulge that big.
And again,
in a scene, and it's so, like, Jack Hay is a gorgeous woman. Exactly.
19, like, this is
at her best.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This, all right, this so, scene all right, so is here so we go. Weird.
So, who's getting married?
We are.
Well, good for you. I give you both a lot of credit. Hold your heads up high. You can't beat true love. Have lots of babies. We're all God's children. I wonder what the kids would look like.
You know that Jack A is crazy in this movie? When they're on the soccer field, she's eating a sub. From the top down.
Yeah.
She's eating it like corn on the cob.
Yeah,
she is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sub as it, yeah. In a way that is patently insane.
In my mind, I'm like, that's an actor going, we're going to do like 10 takes of this scene.
Right.
And I don't want to really eat it. Like on 2.5 Men, they always ate pizza with a fork and knife. And I think it was because it just delays you in eating. Like you're going, I'm cutting it.
Paul, why do you know that? Why do you know on 2.5 Men, they always ate pizza with a fork and knife? Also, how long did it take you to notice that they always
I know this because our friend Gil Ozeri watched every episode of 2.5 Men and taped it for Funny or Die, and I joined him like a day and a half into it, and he was pointing out, like, look, They're eating the pizza with the forks and knives. He's like, we only see them eat with forks and knives. So it's always stuck out to me that's
an
actor.
And she takes aggressively small bites.
Yes.
Like, I do not want to establish. Although, I kind of respect that because I've done scenes where I did a scene where I established that I ate a big bite of cake before I said my line. And then I had to do like nine takes. And to the point where I was going to throw up.
I did scarfing waffles.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like,
ooh, it'd be funny if I'm just scarfing down waffles.
Right,
by the
way, funny.
No.
I think she's doing the Lord's work in this movie. I appreciated her. I needed her.
I mean, and look, she's put into some uncomfortable positions and she comes out pretty good.
Hey, everybody, we have to take a brief break in the podcast to hear a word from our sponsors. First of all, I want to let you know that we got How Did This Get Made? Cool t-shirts. That's right. They go to tpublic.com/store/HDTGM. You can get anything on a hoodie, a mug, a sticker, whatever you want. Just go check it out. We got great shirts there. It's a Jacob's Ladder scenario. We got Where's Rivka? A bunch of really fun stuff. So I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoy Squarespace. What? Did I just make a transition? Yes, I did. All right, here's the deal, people. I've talked to you about Squarespace so much. You're probably like, Paul, I get it. I know. Squarespace is amazing. It's intuitive. You don't have to install. You don't have to patch. You make a website. I don't know if I need to make a website. Well, let me tell you something. You do. You need to make a website because when you create a website, you are putting yourself out there the way the people should see you. Think about that, okay? It's like a landing page for your life. People are always going to Google you, so why don't you have control over it? And it's so easy to have control over it when you can just create something so quickly that's so beautiful. You can showcase your work, your blog, you can publish content, sell products. You can customize everything from the look and feel to settings and products, and it's all optimized for mobile right out of the box. Plus, Squarespace Analytics help you grow in real time. I don't even know what that means ultimately, but I know that they give you a lot of information so you can be like, oh, guess what? I am really appealing to 12-year-old boys. Well, guess what? You can drive more content to those 12-year-old boys. Anyway, if you do have a question about Squarespace, just head on over to their award-winning 24/7 customer support. They will help you through anything. I've used them, and they are great. Hey, guess what? Destiny is calling, and it says you need a new website. Whoa, guys, I just gave you a fucking Squarespace slam. Anyway, head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS, that's BONKERS, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, offer code BONKERS. All right, now back to our show.
This movie is... this movie... is a children's sex comedy. That's what this movie is. There is a scene in which the boy sees the girl.
Oh, God.
And in it.
That is the creepiest.
You fucking perverts. You watched it just like I did. Now we're gonna talk about it. The young boy sees the young girl, and then a fantasy sequence happens, and she's in her underwear. And it is a crime, I think, at that point to be watching.
By the way, I looked up on IMDb. She was 16 when she shot that. So they're making a 16-year-old girl do this weird softcore Cinemax fantasy scene. It was the creepiest.
Also, because
it's so bizarre. And then also that the young boy is watching it. It's fantasizing like his wedding to her, to the Everly Brothers, which is also like for kid movie, it's like, it doesn't feel like, I don't know, I don't feel like the 14-year-old is like, oh, the Everly Brothers is really encapsulating how I feel about this young girl.
There's something about it that is like...
I will fast forward it because I don't want to even be gratuitous in playing that. But I can play the rest on mute here. You can just see
they're always running. Yeah. They're always running in the fantasy.
Running onto a private jet plane.
Running
into some
in a sculpture park.
Although I remember, because I was doing stand-up at that time, so many guys owned suits just like that. There were so many stand-ups with that new Jack City suit shit going on.
They're wedding, eating
cheeseburgers. What is this, a Game of Thrones? Look at that.
And by the way, it says our wedding at the top.
By the way, all of them have red carpets as well. Yeah, every fantasy, they're on a red carpet.
He's become a multimillionaire in his fantasy, too. And they're not throwing rice, they're throwing yellow flowers.
I don't know what's happening there. Creepy.
If the movie was told from kids' point of view, it's like, if I watched Fast Times and saw the Phoebe Cates taking her top off scene, I would not feel nearly as creeped out, even though it is also a girl in high school, as this movie makes you feel. Because to me, this movie is a point of view of adults. You're seeing adults as the characters in this movie. So this movie made me feel real gross.
I also think there's something odd about his relationship with Rodney, and I don't know if it's the kid who played Matthew, Jonathan Brandis, he like gets instantly mad with him. He's like, oh, I got an idea, and then Rodney Dangerfield looks at him bug-eyed, crazy. He's like, no, no, no. It's like, wow, where does that anger come from? And he explodes a couple of times with an anger that feels like. Things have gone on in the past with these two. I get why when he gave him a BB gun, he gave him a sweatshirt with a bullseye in the back.
I was surprised. I thought we were going to find out more about his past. Missing father or whatever was the story behind any and all of this, but we never get there.
Well, that's the strange thing.
Because we're not finding out about the kids.
And that's the strange thing about Matthew's speech to him at the end when he says, you know, you've worked so hard at turning this team around. You've done so much. You put so much into it. And I thought, no, he hasn't. He's enlisted you.
Yeah.
And you all
he slapped a wig on your head and that was it.
And that's what happened.
He should be saying, you've cheated. Yeah. You've successfully gotten away with cheating.
Not coaching. Yeah.
The moral of this movie is terrible. I mean,
well, okay. Not only it's not just that the moral is that cheating is good. The moral is that because it's Rodney Dangerfield is this. You're supposed to believe that at the end he's this good-hearted guy. It doesn't matter if you win, if you become a bad person. And then his boss is this horrible snob. But at the end, he's in league with his evil boss and they're best friends. Yeah. And they're doing even worse things now. Like, that's the whole lesson is just give in. Give in to the evil guys. It'll be fine.
It's a movie that is, I believe, the protagonists are the villains. I believe you're rooting for someone who is a liar and who is like only rewarded continuously for the lie.
Right.
And so I think he's then the villain.
Well, the thing I was really offended by with the ending too, as a former soccer player who played on the travel team, not to brag.
What
Brockville
position?
Center Flames. I played a forward.
Great.
But soccer was my life. The fact that when they were playing the Flames and the last big game, that they put boys in wigs in those scenes was to me.
Yes, that was great. I saw that too. Like, so they're boys
they're
in
all
wigs.
Boys.
Pretending.
Like all of the soccer players who are doing like the big tricks and shots and all of that.
Yeah.
They're all boys with wigs on.
Yeah. That like you can see that, like, and it's not supposed, they're not supposed to be boys in wigs. They're supposed to be girls.
No, they're just supposed to be girls.
And
that and infuriated me. And there's another one who has red hair who does, like, a big.
Yeah.
Like a bite, the one that does the bicycle kick?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's just like, yeah, that's just bad. I mean, this movie is not really supporting female sports at all. No.
But why wouldn't they? I mean, there were plenty of soccer players who could do all that stuff. I was one of those.
Are you upset that you didn't get the call?
I would have loved to have done it. I would have loved to have been offered those roles.
I was also offended in the final game against the Flames, where Jack Hay takes the African-American player who they've never focused on for the whole movie. And she basically makes her angry and unlocks some kind of African-American rage.
Yep.
And then this girl runs down the field to the worst, like, bad white dude rap music and just shoves people out of the way and then scores a goal. And everyone's like, oh, good. Like, it was so like a white dude's version of, oh, this is how black athletes are. It's like, no, it's not. This is and you've never given this character the time of day. At the very beginning of the film, they go, oh, she was the one good player.
Yeah.
And then they never show her doing anything good. And then they just have her for that one scene where she just pummels people until she gets a goal.
Well, I mean, again, if it was a movie like a Bad News Bears, you'd see some sort of training montage. They never seemingly get better or do anything. And at the end, they only win by cheating. Like the when they break that girl's nail, she's like, I'm just going to start pushing, like pushing people. Like every move that they do is illegal.
Right.
It's like, so they win, but at what cost? Like they're not playing soccer. They're not a better team. They're just angry and vicious. Like, like they're really, like it's so bizarre that that's the moral of the story. It's like, win by cheating, and then at the end, the coach gets rewarded. He does get the job. Now, instead of any girls, he's replaced all the girls with young boys, and now they're on a softball team. All right, good. Go. Here we go.
All right, yeah, I guess.
Oh, my gosh.
Go sports.
Well, there's, again, there's so many things that, like, I mean...
Why does the mother of the main girl... the romantic lead.
Yes,
girl.
The rich, the classy
Mullen,
lady.
Mullins, Lady Mullins.
Yeah, Lady Mullins.
Why does Lady Mullins make all the girls skinny dip on the team?
Yeah.
Why does that happen? And while why isn't she being reported, arrested, and put in prison for doing that?
And also, why are all the other girls, he's called, the boy... is calling Roddy going, oh my God, we're going skinny dipping. And the girls are searching for him like this wolf pack, like, get your clothes off and get in the pool with us. It was this weird, like, what? Any group of girls that age would go, hey, a weird old lady, we're not going to jump in the pool naked. I don't know what you're doing here. But no, they're determined that she gets in the... Oh, it's so creepy.
And then Rodney has to go save the day, and he dresses up as a woman.
Right.
And he's also in a Laura Ashley dress with a veil. And he's like, ooh, my daughter. And to which...
He sounds exactly like himself, though. Oh.
By the way,
he's like, I'm Martha's mother.
They, like, and then the, and then when he leaves, Lady Mullins goes like, ugh. Like, ugh. Like... When have you ever looked at a human being and been like, ugh? Like,
also, by the way, that I just realized, the thing in the dressing room where the woman thinks that he's a child molester, they go to that well a couple of times in the movie.
Yeah.
They go back to that same joke, as you
sequence.
Said, in a kid's movie.
It's a children's movie.
Yeah, and they do it with the bartender. And then they do it, there's another time where they do it.
And here's what's so interesting about that joke is that I think what's most disturbing to me is that I think the reason why they feel they could get away with it is that the audience knows it's a boy. And that to me was even more disturbing.
Yeah, it's way
that
more
like
disturbing.
we should laugh at this because it's a young boy and not really a girl.
Or is even though, it's so much creepier than a young boy.
It's so terrible.
It's even worse.
Well, it's also like when he gets kicked out of the bar, like, there's no time to explain. Like, he's like, what does he say to the bartender and is immediately, thrown out of the bar? Like, it's just like he lets it hang. Like, yeah, I was trying to do a boy. And then...
She got mad.
Hold.
Mad at me because I dressed up her son like a girl and tried to do him or something.
You know, and tried to play with him. And then he throws him out. The bartender, by the way, is the guy from... Far Out Space Nuts, which I loved growing up.
Oh,
he was
my
the guy
gosh,
that was like,
yeah.
Lunch, not launch. And then he throws Rodney out, and Rodney then there's this weird shot where Rodney just kind of stands alone on the street and kind of talk. Does he talk to a mailbox? Or it's like he gives. It's like the one part of the movie where they go, we got to have a couple of Rodney lines. Oh shit, we don't have anyone for him to say it to. So he's just going to say it to this lamppost. It's like, did he just suffer a stroke? Who's he talking to?
I will say that Rodney, I think, gives the best performance of all time when he is asking for the raise. I felt bad for him. I'm like, oh, this man, he's so sad, he's so small. He's like, and I'm trying to get married.
Oh,
and it's like, it makes me, like, I felt for him. I was like,
I felt nothing for him. He's fucking... disgusting. So fucking gross. I hate him.
Wait, let me ask you this, though, June, because I did feel that Rodney gave a very impassioned speech to the girls that they're women, they got the vote.
Oh, can we play that scene here? This you is win. Great.
You got the vote. You're going to burn your bras when you get them.
Oh, wait, this is, yeah. This is all on.
I do it. Like how all the advice scenes to kids include jokes that only people in their 60s would get. Like he'll throw
That's
in
what I mean.
Some, you know, it's not like Sputnik's orbiting the planet right now. And,
oh, Laika the dog.
Yeah, what do you think I am, Russian. Wendell Wilkie? Hey, what the?
Oh, my God. I gotta.
I did think at one point there was one scene between Martha and Kimberly, the main girl, where I thought, oh, I think she is falling in love with Martha. And that, I didn't remember this movie, but what an interesting twist that she is a lesbian.
Yeah.
And we're going to see that play out.
Oh, well, there's that classic farce. Sequence where the boy has to juggle both dressing up as the girl character so that he can hang out with the girl and watch videos, but then talk to his mom as the boy, and he would run in and out of doors. And
but it's weird because I guess if you're writing this movie, you would say that the girl and the boy have a relationship, but she doesn't know that he's Martha, right? Like that wouldn't have, 'cause it would be more interesting if he's trying to have a date and then has to like put. It like, but they kind of reverse engineered it, so it's like he's pretending to be Martha to her, but they don't really even have a connection. It's like there's no stakes in that scene.
Yeah, that scene made me so sad because it's a shitty scene. It's not well done, but Jonathan does amazing work doing the physical up and down the stairs. Yes. Like he broke his ass for a shitty scene.
Oh,
like
that's
there's
the
nothing more
up.
Depressing. It's like he really worked at. That stuff out, and the scene just, and you're right, they didn't think out
why
the
he was
doing. Why would he bother doing that?
And also, I will just argue, yes, I agree, he works hard in that scene, but I would love to have seen maybe 25% of that in his portrayal of Martha, which because just seems like Jonathan in a way.
Yeah, he never changed his voice.
And she knows him from school. Multiple times she interacts with the boy.
But I thought that that was a, choice that he made. That the actor Jonathan made that was, you know, how could this character know how to act? Like, he's just going to be himself because he doesn't know how to do this character.
I mean, it's, well, I guess.
By the way, this scene, there are so many t-shirts hanging up on hangers.
Oh, well, let's play the women's lip scene.
This is the dressing room tent.
For what?
But why are they...
For what?
By the way, it looks like none of the outfits for the characters in the movie.
This is on the field.
Yes.
This is like
whose
right
shirts
off the
are
field.
These? Quick question.
Girls?
Whose shirts are these?
Here we go.
Martha is Matthew.
What? Oh my God. What?
He's a boy.
He's an old man. Can you believe that?
That's right. Martha is Matthew. And I'm showing you this for one reason. You don't need Martha anymore. You don't need a boy to help you win. You're winning. You don't need anyone. You're liberated. You got the vote. You can burn your bras. When do you get them? Now get out there and put out those flames.
He looks so tired right there. Look at that. Look how tired he looks. That right there in that frame is a man who's like, have I died yet? Because I think I may have.
By the way,
and this is hell.
This is a man who also made like five more movies after this.
Five more, yeah.
That is everything.
Here's an interesting little side fact. So originally, the actor that was supposed to play this part was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wait, play what part?
Was supposed to play Rodney Dangerfield's part?
Jonathan Brandis's part. He was both. It was a year before Gilbert Grape. And basically, in this book that Sidney Furey wrote about the movie, or about
who's
his
the director
career,
of this movie?
Yes, who is a How Did This Get Made royalty? He was fired off of Jazz Singer and also fired from Superman 4. He said, keeping in mind that this character would have to dress up as a female soccer player and receive illicit laughs as a result, Furey remembers smiling. DiCaprio, he was too beautiful. He dressed up like a girl with a wig and everything, and he looked so convincing that it just killed the joke. Jonathan Brandis is cast because he looked funny in drag. Boom.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
Imagine if that was on DiCaprio's resume. Like, what? Did you see Ladybugs? Like, Gilbert Grape was such a... It's like Growing Pains, Gilbert Grape. Like, it would have been Growing Pains, Ladybugs.
Wow.
One of my favorite late in the movie reveals... in the farce, running back and forth, changing from Martha to Matthew, blah, 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 is in their house, there is a 7 foot by 7 foot painting of a barn.
Yes.
That is so big. It's so crazy to think that in this very... Do you have this?
I think I might.
This, when I saw this, I stopped the movie and it like, I had to like try and get perspective. Yes.
Oh my God.
Look at...
Oh my God.
It looks
look at
as
how
if,
big that is.
It looks as if like there was something they couldn't cover over in props and they're like, just bring in the big picture.
It looks like a backdrop for a theatrical production that takes place on a farm. You know what I mean?
Like it was a prop that they couldn't use in the boss's office. Like, put it in there.
If you cropped it very just on the corner, you'd be like, are they in the Old West? Because the two kids are dwarfed by this painting.
You could easily take 5 Jonathan Brandises, and that would be how long it would be. It's a remake of Old Yeller.
It's like Little House on the Prairie, starring Jonathan Brandis.
Well, at least
this is one of my favorite things in the whole movie. That this, by the way, this could be a still from Twin Peaks. Like that is like the best. That's the best frame of this movie.
My favorite part of this movie was Rodney Dangerfield singing the musical interlude of Great Balls of Fire.
And you know exactly where that came from. Well, he did. He sang Twist and Shout in Back to School. We got to do that again.
Well,
but they do not work it in organically at all. It has nothing to do.
Like, this is how it just pops up. It's like,
you shake my nerves and you rattle my brain.
Where is this
Too
voice
much love
from?
Drives a man insane. You broke my will. Oh, what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I chew my nails and I twiddle my thumb. I'm real nervous, but it sure is fun.
Come on, baby, you're driving me crazy. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Like, that is the most reckless driving.
Yeah. I've,
like, he's yanking the wheel like crazy. He's not looking at the road. His car is full of children.
Yeah. Walter Matthau drives a bunch of unbelted kids in a convertible drunk in Bad News Bears, and this is more dangerous than that.
And he is singing, and it's one of those rare instances in a non-musical film where someone's singing, like, they're doing a full rendition, and these kids are listening to it. Like, he's listening.
Oh, they're
right there. He's like, yep.
There's also a scene near the end. I think it's near right before the final game where they're wondering, where's Matthew? And behind Rodney and Jack A are these two guys in suits. And one of them has sunglasses on, and they are the creepiest looking. They were like extras. I can't remember the specific scene, but if you know to look for them, this one guy, he has this weird kind of John Waters pencil-thin mustache and this kind of weird comb-over, and he's like skinny in a suit, and there's a guy with him in sunglasses, and they look like, I guess they're supposed to be parents watching the game, but they look like they're there to assassinate somebody. It's the creepiest.
I mean, there
weirdest.
Were several times watching this movie where my mind would wander. This scene was one of them in the car, and I would just think, like, wow, they had to be in a small space with Rodney Dangerfield. Like, that sucks.
Well, again, some facts from the book that Sidney Fury wrote. He said, Dangerfield arrived in Colorado with a suitcase full of spatulas, forks and knives, and would take all the food from the craft table and Tupperware containers home every night.
That's very sad.
I mean, he was not broke. He was not,
no,
a broke man.
Fine,
Something has just occurred to me now that I am shocked I did not notice during the course of the movie.
What's up?
The kid calls Rodney, whose name is Chester. Lee, calls him Chesterfield.
Well, apparently that was because...
Is that because of Dangerfield?
No, he thought it would be funny to do that. The kid came up with that, Jonathan, and then insisted that be in the movie like Chesterfield. Get it? Like, yeah, oh, I guess.
It did not, shame on me, it did not occur to me at all that he was giving him the last syllable of his actual last name. But it was, that's really weird. To have done that repeatedly is very bizarre.
Well, not to let the audience
sad,
into
is it sad
it.
That all I thought of when you told him about the spatulas and the forks was like, wait a minute, you can, oh, that's pre 2000, yeah, 9/11, yeah, you could actually fly with spatulas. That was the first thing I thought of. How did he get those? Oh, wait a minute, no, 9/11 hadn't happened. Okay, yeah, he could do that, yeah.
Now, thanks a lot, TSA. Yeah. Can't bring my spatulas
thanks,
on the plane.
Thanks, Bin Laden.
Can we talk about the poster for a second? Can you lower that?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
So the poster that we're looking at is the young lady in the film, Vanessa Shaw.
Again, I think it's 15 or 16.
Yeah, and Jonathan is behind her, and he is holding two soccer balls in front of her breast, and then Dangerfield's kind of over her other shoulder going like,
Peekaboo. Peekaboo. And her mouth is open. The whole thing is just... It's, I mean, again, I love this movie as a child. I mean, I remember seeing it and thinking, like, thank you.
And it,
I mean,
says, and it says here, it says, a comedy with balls. That is the tagline. But
kids, get in the car. You cannot wait to see this. It's going to be great.
One of the reasons why Dangerfield loved the director was because he shot with three cameras and he didn't waste Dangerfield's time. And when asked why ladybugs, Fury said, repeating the question backwards, why not? It was something to do. One has to keep on working.
Wait, it was something to do?
It was something to do. One has to keep working, and believe me, it was
the
one
hours?
Of the...
Yeah, that,
what?
Yeah.
But that, literally, that sentence could fit perfectly on a suicide note. Just, hey, it was something to do. I don't know what to tell
something
you.
Something to do.
Something to do.
He was like, the paycheck was great, and anything to get me on set with a crew. So that was it.
This is so grim.
No, this movie.
So grim.
By the way, do you want to know the tag? It has one of the best taglines. But we have a comedy with balls. Here's the other one.
I'd like to cover up the poster again.
Okay,
yeah, it's creepy.
Here's the other tagline. He's coach, not first class. Which doesn't make any... Which doesn't make any sense.
Got whiplash listening to that.
That's wild.
He's coach, not first class. Which, by the way, would be great if he was an airline steward or something. Like it would be.
Here's my impression of the room where they were thinking up taglines for the movie. Ready? He's coach, first class. It's five. Fine. Yeah, it's five. I gotta go. Oh Jesus. Fine. Close enough.
And then the director's like, can you believe they're giving me money to have a room for this shit?
And do you guys, that one thing at the end where he goes, I don't think he ever in any of his movie goes, hey, I finally got some respect. Freeze frame, hold for 39 minutes.
Yeah. By the way, not only do they freeze frame, something happens with the camera where it does this weird dip. And it cuts the top of his head off like there was no way to do. Like I almost feel like at that point, Ron is like, "That's the only one I'm doing. Forget it." And they're like, "No, the camera. Like a squirrel dropped the acorn on the guy, and he dropped it. I don't care. I'm going back to my trailer. Where's my spatulas? Pack up all the food. I'm out of here. Oh God, are you kidding? Boy, this thing was rough. Hey, let me tell you something. This movie was no bargain. This movie was more of a dog it would shed, right?"
Hey everybody, we have to take a brief break in the show right now to hear a word from our sponsors. Here's the deal. Scott Aukerman from Comedy Bang Bang, Adam Scott from Parks and Recreation, and Ghosted are teaming up once again to create a brand new musical podcast. That's right. If you are a fan of the podcast, Are You Talking You Two to Me? Then make sure to check out their brand new podcast, Are You Talking R.E.M. Re-Me. All right. Scott and Adam come together to discuss the music and impact of the band R.E.M. I love R.E.M. I haven't listened to R.E.M. in a long, long time. So I'm actually really curious to go back and hear them dissect these albums. I feel like this is a perfect podcast to listen to for those of you who grew up with R.E.M. like myself. It's an album-by-album analysis. Listen to these friends break down everything and nothing about the band. Listen to the episodes of this limited series Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Earwolf.com. That's right. It's Are You Talking R.E.M. Re-Me. So good luck putting all of that in your search engine, but I think you'll find it. Good luck. All right, now back to our show.
All right, well, obviously we had some opinions here, but let's come to you guys. Let's see what you have to think.
Yeah.
All right, I know you have a lot of things to say. All right, sir, you've had your say a lot of times in the show. Sir, what's your name? And just give me your question. I don't have a fun thing to ask.
My name's Tim, and a couple of things. The Chesterfield thing, that was a coincidence. He was doing that to his friends before he was even cast in the movie. He was calling them like Manzoukas Field and Shearfield.
He was?
Yeah.
And then that's very prescient.
It's on IMDb, and then it's just a coincidence.
That was his fun nickname for people. Wow.
So it was destiny.
Tim, the great people at IMAX have given us a lot of free swag tonight, so you will get something.
Oh, now the hands go up. Yeah, oh, wait. Yeah. Ooh, right, I want a beer koozie. Oh.
Free IMAX garbage? Don't mind if I do.
My name's Todd. Girls with balls.
Okay.
We didn't talk about the uncomfortable racial stuff in this movie.
There's a few moments. Like one where Jack A says, black people are always better at sports. He goes, black people better at sports.
Well, there's also a moment where she says, her job is threatened if he doesn't get the promotion. And she says immediately that she's going to have to go on welfare.
Right. The thing that I noticed was there's a scene where they refer to the goalie who is Asian. They say, oh, she turned into the Great Wall.
Yeah.
Yes.
The goalie whose name was Chu, and I feel like they had a joke and they worked backwards. Like, if you say Chu a lot, we can say God bless you. Got it. All right, then they named her Chu, like, because they do that as well. Yeah, there's a couple of things there. Well, thank you so much. You'll get some IMAX.
No, I mean, like, I think it's fair to say this movie is problematic on every single level.
It could be.
Oh, it's also, remember you mentioned earlier how tired Rodney looks? The movie gets tired as it goes along, to the point where there was a really weird scene that I'm like, is this a brilliant joke, or are they acknowledging how exhausted they are? The Wienermobile shows up on the field, and they cut to Jack A, and Rodney goes, are you going to say anything? And he goes, we should just go home. Like, he doesn't, he just gives up. Like, it was like the weirdest, like, are they commenting on how we've all just, you don't need to watch this movie, and we've all given up.
You got it all.
Literally, there's a car that looks like a dick, and even Ronnie's like, I don't care. I got nothing to say.
It's
I don't
know what to tell you. Every time he goes to kiss his fiance in the movie, doesn't it look like he like collapses onto her? Like, there were several points it looks like she's just supporting his body weight.
Or as if he maybe has never kissed anyone. Like, he shows up at her house with flowers, my initial impulse was that he was her father.
Sure.
And he puts his hand over her eyes and says, guess who? And I was like, oh, I don't know where this is going. And I don't like it.
I want to see prequel. How did they meet? What's their meet cute? But, you know, there's something funny about this movie that you just said. Like, the movie, like, I guess in the other films that he's been in, like, his jokes would surround, like, a general plot. And I feel like in this one, it was like, every time he's on screen, it's just one-liners, and people have to pick how they react to it. Will I laugh at it like you're telling me a joke? Will I be offended? Like, there's like, he's never really having a conversation with anyone. He's just basically saying one-liners to them.
Well, it did feel like Jack A at one point has a line where she says to him, when you're hurting, I'm hurting too. As if to tell the audience, like, despite what you see here, someone likes him in this movie. Like, despite everything you're witnessing, I'm going to tell you that I like this man.
This movie also would have made total sense if the last scene had been him, like, in a mental institution having imagined the entirety of the movie.
You know, he has a ladybug on his fingertip.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
There you go. That's it. That's the movie. Then I'd be like, oh, I get it now. That's why it's so weirdly sexual. That's why it's so weirdly bizarre. He made the whole thing up in his head.
Was there a version of this movie where he put on a wig and pretended to be a girl? Like, well, I guess he does. Yeah. Yeah, I guess he did.
He did that.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Your name, your title of the movie, and your question.
My name is Katie. I wouldn't know this. Dear God, think of the children. Because there's also a moment where, like, I guess because he needs the promotion to get married to her finally so she doesn't have to work anymore.
That's the big problem with the movie, a woman working.
And then, like, they're your house shopping, I guess, because of that.
Oh, this is the worst joke.
Yeah, well, not even the jokes. Oh, okay. There's a moment that, like, she sees the good in the neighborhood, and you see, like, she's like, look at this neighborhood, it's so safe, and you see a guy riding his bike with a baby in the back. Neither one of them have a helmet on, and, like, the sun is beating down on that child. I was like, oh, no, oh, save them.
Well, I would say the joke is even more problematic.
Yeah. Oh, God, that joke.
Which he makes a joke that the baby's in the back of the seat, and for some way that's going to, like, make him
because
gay.
Because he's staring at his father's ass.
You're right.
He's going to grow up and marry some guy named Kenny. Thank you. And that's the joke.
That's not possible, right?
What do you mean?
Like, that's just not possible.
Oh, no. If you stare at a butt long enough.
Okay. That's what I thought was a chance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it'll imprint on you.
Yeah, June, that's where gay people come from. They put them on a gay bike when they're babies.
It's like
they ride them around. Mike Pence will tell you all about this. You ride around.
Says, yeah.
And you look at man ass.
Since they were a child, yeah.
It's like Bella's baby.
Right, right.
It imprints. It's a Twilight joke, everybody.
Yeah, so like when gay men say, like, I've known since I was, like, very little, like, I've never not known. They usually learned it on a bike
staring at their dad's butts.
It's like when a baby duck imprints on a mailbox. Like, you have to be careful what your baby
or
looks at.
Or a female box.
Or a female box, exactly. Oh, nicely done. There you go. Wow.
Sir, your name, your title of the film, and your question.
My name is Eric. The title would be a Dateline Special Investigation. And my question is, he has an interaction.
I would love it if the guy from To Catch a Predator just entered and was like, I'm shutting this movie down.
How would you like me to play on your soccer team?
Because about halfway
through, I bet you thought you were coming here to coach a girls' soccer team.
What do you mean?
I just got a case of Zima and a couple of soccer balls.
He has an interaction with this woman coach who comes up to him and immediately hates him more than I've ever seen two people hate each other for no reason. Because what is the backstory for that? That she just rages against him so hard.
It's an interesting question.
I mean, I think she just stares at the optics of it all, and I thought she had an appropriate reaction.
This is what I thought. What was heartbreaking to me was, as much as I wanted our beloved Ladybugs to win, I did not want to reward any of their reprehensible parents. All of the adults in this movie are horrid people. Everybody is reprehensible on multiple levels. And so any victory was a victory, yes, for the kids, but for the adults in general, in a way that I was like, I don't want them to win. I don't want Mullins to succeed. I want him him and his wife having, like, martinis on the sideline. I couldn't fucking figure out up from down. I hated it. I hated them all. They're horrible to their daughter. They're horrible to everybody. In a way that I was like, what? Why? If this is a movie about the kids triumphing over the parents, great. But it's not. It's a movie about the adults.
Your name, your title, and your question.
Okay, my name is Deb. Jason took, I was going to say To Catch a Predator, so I'm going to change it to Coach a Predator.
Oh, nice.
Smart.
Thank you.
Smart.
I have two comments.
Great punch up.
One is that... We talked about, okay, black people are good at sports, but I wanted to mention the specific sports that Rodney said they're not good at, which was hockey, water polo, and fox hunting, because those are things.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention that the way that they got the girl who was the goalie to kick the ball was by putting butterfly stickers on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, that's the only way to make girls interested in sports, like shiny stickers.
I forgot that I wrote that down going, that's odd. Because I didn't know if that's how she envisioned it. Like, she's like, saw that, and that just seemed, yeah, that's a very, well, good point. Here's your IMAX notebook.
So don't forget to write down your big dreams in there.
The IMAX notebook is 7 feet tall. It's as big as that portrait in the movie. Now, we do have a special guest here tonight, and I don't want to put her on the spot, but you played Penny in the movie, right? Right? So, come on. Go. Welcome. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
So tell us every detail about everything. Well, you have this, I think, one of the a crazy end beat, which is like you take down your hair and then you become awesome. Like, where because the cliche is like, oh, it's the nerdy girl, and then when she lets down her hair, then all the guys think she's attractive. But here you take down your hair and then you become like awesome at soccer, which is interesting. Just talk to me, anything at all I would keep you here for hours, but
Well, this is a magical experience in my life. Yes. So you guys are like poking holes in all of the things that were amazing. But then as I got older, of course, I saw it as an adult.
Yeah.
And then it was really weird to be in it.
What was your experience with Rodney like? Was he like on set a lot? I feel like he wasn't on set a lot. That's my opinion of it. But
I would say I had a very interesting experience because I had to go privately into his motorhome to rehearse my scene. And in retrospect, yeah, that's very odd.
Yeah.
Did you steal a spatula?
They were hanging from every corner.
Wow, that's it's amazing because I imagine on set it's probably the most fun. It's like you're surrounded by people your own age. You get to have fun. It's like cute boy Jonathan Brandis, and it's all good times playing soccer. Like, but then Dangerfield too. Did you know of Dangerfield? Were you like, oh, this is the guy from Caddyshack, or that was even above you?
Oh no, I loved his movies before. Okay. My mom let me watch everything, so I was like, oh, Rodney Dangerfield. And then I got there, and it was a little weird.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah,
do you have any questions?
Yeah, I do.
I asked before, like, was he okay? Like, what overall were his vibes? Like, irritated to be there, nervous for his health?
I was like, 13 when I shot this movie, so...
Understood. Yeah, you weren't, like, checking
like 30 years ago at this point. So, the vibe was very sweaty. That's all I remember as a kid. He just always had this sweat ring right here. And it was very awkward. And, you know, he came in and he came out and did his thing. I just hung out with all the kids.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And was there more to the movie? Like, was there ever, like, a training... Like, you're one of the few characters that actually does... Like, he talks to you and says, like, hey, we should go on a date. And you go, you know, I'm like... You know,
Paul. I'm going to advise you to not do exactly what you're doing. Even to a grown woman, it doesn't come off good.
But it's one of the few characters that actually, I think, has like a little bit of a middle ground. Like, you know, was there more ever, or did they just cut it down to that? Like,
well, all the kids kind of had the same amount of scenes, and then when I got hired, they added that one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was awesome, but also kind of out of context and weird in retrospect. Yeah.
Well, all right. No, this is no. It's amazing that you're here. Thank you for coming. And all right, go give her a hand. Good job. And congratulations. Amazing. Would you like one of these IMAX? One more question. Hi, how are you? Your name, your title, and your question.
Seth, co-ed Naked Ladybugs.
Okay.
Was his promotion becoming coach of the softball team? Is that the big, like, is that what the sales elevation, like, is that?
Well, it seems like he has gotten that promotion, but he's out of the office all the time coaching, yeah.
Men, a full team of young teenage boys in a women's softball leagues with the boss's approval.
And he seemingly has no talent as a coach.
So he's coaching the girls' softball team. But can we assume it started out as a bunch of girls playing softball that he then replaced with boys in wigs? Where is the hidden murder movie where he got rid of, like, where did all those girls go? Why are none of the parents going, well, that's not my daughter. These are these weird drifters wearing wigs. What the hell happened? Where do all these girls go during the game? Does
it's
he
like an
hang
Ashley
them
Judd
off
Morgan Freeman movie. Where did the girls go?
Wait a minute. I just realized there's a very creepy David Lynch film going on at the end.
I think there's an argument to be made because Mullen says to him, well, your year-round sports program has been a big hit that you've introduced, blah, 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 right? So that means at some point, Rodney went to his boss and said, hey, you know how last year I triumphed with the Ladybugs playing girls' soccer and got the girls to realize that they were strong, powerful women, they have the vote, et cetera? Okay, let's do that in all girls' sports, but let's do it with the kid, the boy, with the whole team. Let's get rid of all the girls and just do the thing that was terrible that I did the whole way. Let's be real bad.
And arguably...
I'm on board for this.
But also, Kevin, then are these boys' parents going to these games and watching their boys in wigs, and everyone's like, everyone be cool, all right, we're going to win a trophy.
Everyone's a part of a giant lie.
Yeah, what the hell is... This is... We're getting into Dealey Plaza levels of conspiracy here,
and
guys.
And it's also like, what's in it for these boys, too? It's like, do they want to play against... Do they want to play against girls and, I guess, beat them? If that's the idea, like, what did they... What are they getting out of it?
And do they have to go skinny dipping?
Oh, man. Well, obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there that had a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions. All right, who out there has a... okay. Oh, great. You got. Come on up. All right, you have your hand raised. That's great. I'll take the first person with their hand raised. That's the way it works.
And if I had one, I might have a second opinion. No, it's not 4-3-1 or 2, just another 5-star Amazon review. But maybe that's me, and I'm telling the truth, though, can't you see? But I'm still guilty and ashamed, so I hide behind my Amazon username to give my second opinion.
Awesome. What's your name, sir?
Brian.
Brian, welcome. Thank you, Brian. Brian, you can get this great book by Scott C. called The Great Showdowns, The Return. We love Scott C. That was a great one.
Great work!
All right. Great job. Great job. All right. There are 274 reviews of Ladybugs. 73% are 5-star reviews. So we had a lot to pick from. This one is by Miroy Tuttle. The title is "The Actors Performed Very Well." It's written as this. It says, "The filming was excellent. The ending not perfect, but I like it very much. If I had, I must find someone like the hero. I think I really fell in love with this movie. I'll watch it a few times. The plot is torturous. I watch this movie with my father." 5 stars.
Leroy Tuttle.
Really, all across the board on that one. That is one of the
I watched this movie with my father.
There's a disturbing trend of parents watching this movie with their children and going, no, 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 no. It's like don't watch it with your kids. This one is... okay. This one is... this is from Nate E. Bow, and it's The Digital Ladybugs Revolution. This was written in 2004. "Ladybugs should be made available in every Blockbuster and on DVD. I may start a petition. Do yourself a favor and sign my petition." The end. 5 stars.
Sign a petition that he might start?
Yes.
Okay.
Get on board with
well,
it.
Wasn't it the case, though, that Blockbuster didn't stock porn?
Here is... this is another one. This is they're all pretty short. This one replaces the word wife with Wi-Fi. And it says, titled, "Dangerfield is Superb. I can't have my Wi-Fi watching this movie. She was laughing so hysterically, I was concerned. Love it. Love all movies." 5 stars.
Oh, I envy him so much. I love all movies. What a great world he lives in.
By the way,
every movie is amazing.
By the way,
I'll never be that happy.
I would argue that is not a misspelling. That is a man who is in love with his Wi-Fi.
By the way, that's the way I viewed this movie, as like a 12-year-old, 13-year-old who was just like, I love movies. Like, we're going to watch a movie? I love it. Put it on. I love movies.
Love movies. This one's a
Do
little bit weird.
Do you still love this movie?
No. By the way, I'm laughing throughout this entire night, and, you know, we're all having fun here. I was deeply disturbed by this. Like, I'm laughing about the pedophile. Like, I'm actually very uncomfortable.
This last one here, or second to last one, is called A Good Family Movie. We enjoyed this movie. Unlike some Rodney Dangerfield movies, the whole family can watch this one. Yes, there's some innuendo and one upskirt shot, but it's pretty family friendly.
You definitely see, like, lips.
I just don't understand why you could put those two things in one sentence.
Like, it's a family movie. Yes, there's some innuendo. Yes, you see labia majora, but you don't see labia minora, so it is fine.
And he ends the review by saying it gave us a lot of laughs and it moved our hearts. And sometimes when they're too good, we just do a third opinion, which is, this is a 5-star review, but here's how it ends. This movie taught me a valuable lesson. Just because I saw it as a kid doesn't make it decent. 5 stars.
5 stars. That is mixed messaging.
I think he's giving 5 stars for the lesson he learned.
Yeah, like...
I'm hoping.
I learned a valuable lesson.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, is there anything that we haven't talked about that... we didn't talk about the Tommy Lasorda cameo Coach Cannoli.
Coach Cannoli?
Oh, and then the... And Blake Clark as the weird...
Oh, yeah.
Vietnam vet guy with flashbacks and screaming at children and abusing them and
get down, like makes them get down and like yeah.
I also love that when they were starting to do well and Martha was like coaching them on the field during games, she would just have them shout out to the person they were going to pass the ball to, look at them, point at them, scream their name, and then kick the ball that way.
Oh, I also was confused when, after the first time Matthew plays as Martha, Rodney, after the game, refers to all the stuff that we didn't see happen.
Yes.
Like, hey, you don't slap a girl's ass and call her hot stuff out there.
You don't give the ref the finger. That didn't stop the
game. Yeah, he does all this. He refers to all this stuff that would have stopped any game, but it's just like these little passing jokes. And they just go, hey.
All of which would have been more interesting to have watched.
Yeah, exactly, sure. Yeah. Here's some other funny jokes that happened in that last scene.
He definitely...
We didn't bother to film.
Rodney has enough, like...
Remember when that eagle carried off the ball? Boy, that was amazing. How about that? And what about that go-kart chase we all got into? Boy, that was some laughs. Well, I'm going to sit here on this couch. Boy, my feet hurt.
And, like, pull out... Again, pull out, and he's just alone in a mental institution. Like, he does enough asides to no one...
No
that
one.
He might... He might be Bruce Willis in Sixth Sense. He might not exist in the movie. He might be a ghost wandering through the movie.
I wouldn't
be surprised if Jack A was the coach of this team.
I pulled one little thing here, which I don't know why it made me laugh, but it did. So when Rodney leaves his house that he lives in with his current girlfriend, there's a guy playing frisbee right out under this power line, and there was some. Where is it? I think it's like here. There's one whole scene where he's by himself. Here, yeah, there it is. It's just a guy playing frisbee to no one under a power line, like or under a power tower. It's like
I'm sorry. God, that looks like a shot from a David Lynch film.
Yes!
I mean, like, God.
Like this.
Look at that.
It's just like through the silhouette.
Wow.
It's like,
it,
by the way, that's Lolita. That's a Lolita shot almost. Yeah.
That's a movie that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's up with this? Like, she sees the guy playing frisbee alone. She rides her bike home. There's a murder. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a movie.
What's this little indie hit that got all that buzz at Sundance? Let's watch that one.
Ladybugs.
Yeah, Ladybugs, but it has like an Angela Badalamenti score and all this creepy the ladybug symbolized death or something.
And you have like Amy, like an Amy Mann cover of like, I shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Take a man insane. Like
a flawless Amy Mann impression.
Wow.
Well, this movie...
Please, will someone in our audience recut a trailer for Ladybugs as if it's a David Lynch movie?
You can easily do that.
Yeah, I'm talking totally about the scene. That. I'm talking about the scene. It's a movie about what's the actor's name who plays the Matthew Marcus?
Jonathan Brandis.
It's about Jonathan Brandis' character careening between being Matthew and Martha.
Cut a trailer with no Rodney in it. It's just this troubled teen. Make it like this weird little indie Sundance hit that got like polarizing reviews. Yes.
I would love it.
The most shocking Sundance debut. Put a Nine Inch Nails song on it and just... So weird.
Just him taking that wig off and on and that like that. Who am I?
And then just cut to the woman outside the dressing room keeling over.
Again, that woman hit the ground so hard.
Is there any way you can watch that, Paul?
I think she died. Like, it looked like it really hurt.
I mean,
by the way, Rodney also in the changing room scene tries on breasts.
Oh, yeah.
For no reason.
But also, why are there just balloons?
All right. Watch how this woman hits the ground. Like, all right, God.
First, we're going to see her react a little bit.
And now she'll kill me.
God, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Don't worry, I'll be finished soon.
Ow! Take it easy, that hurts. Ow!
All right, don't worry. If it's too tight, you'll get used to it. Well, what a cute little girl. And what's your name,
Ow!
That is amazing.
She broke four.
One more for that time.
Joke. What a cute little girl. And what's your name?
One more time.
What a cute little girl. And what's your name?
That is the best.
I genuinely wish the movie continued.
What's your name?
I wish the movie continued, but following them.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, my mother died in a department store.
And the ADR people should have like hit some celery against a punching bag for like the noise of bones breaking, like really go all the way.
By the way, that's how the indie Sundance movie should open.
Yeah.
Dangerfield coming out, touching a girl's face, the mother dies, and that's Matthew.
Yeah.
Like that's grown up Matthew. Like,
oh my God.
Is this a sleepaway camp scenario?
What's so crazy too is when Dangerfield and the kid come out, he's he's caught, but he shouldn't be that caught because he's dressed like a girl.
He doesn't know the context. Like, I had no idea why he was reacting that way.
Yeah, John.
I had no idea why there was a literal basket of balloons there. Why?
You know, they're the balloon
not for
table.
Sale.
And that scene is really pretty graphic. Just hearing
horrible.
It. Don't worry, it'll fit or whatever. It's tight now. Anyway, this movie the budget was $20 million.
$20 million.
$20 million for what? Yeah. What did they spend money on?
Spatulas.
Okay, yeah.
$20 million.
Yeah, wow. So it was $20 million. It made $14 million. And of the movies that came out that year, the top three were Aladdin, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, and Batman Returns. In the movies that we've done on this podcast, this movie was beaten by Lawnmower Man, Sleepwalkers, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, Toys, and Free Jack.
Wow.
It beat
Those
nothing.
Those are all the same year?
Yes.
Wow.
A real.
Have we ever looked at what year was the like the we've done the most movies from what year?
I think we've done every year except for 1 year we have not done a movie.
But he's asking, but what is like the year with the most?
Yeah, yeah. Is there like one inarguable year of terrible movies?
I would argue it. I would just say based on this list, 92 looks like a very strong contender.
I would say late 80s, early 90s was a wonderful, wonderful time for
also,
the bad movies.
Also, $20 million to make this is shocking.
Yeah.
$19 million for Rodney, and then another then, $500,000 for those crazy props.
Yep. Yeah, $500,000 for sure, just to make those architectural models.
Just another little, by the way, they did. There's a little bit of a note here that Paramount really struggled with the marketing of this film because of Dangerfield's profane comedic persona clashed with the fact that it was a children's movie. And they decided they were going to maybe change the title to The Coach, but they didn't really solve anything. Like, Ladybugs is not a sexually suggestive title.
Yeah. How about To Catch a Coach? No?
And then here's the other thing here. This is a Fury wanted to develop, and I thought this is interesting, a movie that Dangerfield's passion project, a Fellini-esque comedy called Serenade Cafe about a nightclub owner with opera singing dreams. So we could have gotten that. We could have gotten that somewhere. Serenade Cafe. Dangerfield and opera. Don't know where that would have fit in.
We got your letters, America, and we heard what you want.
Wow.
So there you go. Patton, we are so excited to have you back on the show.
I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
You have a special right now on Netflix.
On Netflix, yeah. And also, you can go to the NBC.com website. First three episodes of AP Bio are streaming.
Which
right
is
now,
a so. Great show if you've not watched it. It's really funny, and I feel like you're getting to do stuff that feels almost undecidedly doesn't feel like a network show. It's like an NBC show.
Yeah.
You get to do like some really funny dark stuff, and the characters on
it's
really
great. It's such a fun show to do. So
so check definitely check out AP Bio on NBC and on NBC.com. June, what do you want to?
You can the fourth season of Grace and Frankie is streaming now.
Yeah.
I guess that's it.
All right, Jason.
Nothing for me, thank you.
All right. There we go. I don't think I have anything either. Just enjoy your lives. Thank you guys so much for coming, and a big thank you to all the people that make this show possible. Avril Halley pulls all these clips, of course. July Diaz, Nate Kiley, Kelly Alto, Kyle Waldron, everybody here at Largo, everybody here at Earwolf. Thank you guys so much, and if you want to add your voice to the mix, give us a call at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. Thanks so much, everybody. Good night.
Thank you.
That's the show, but it doesn't end here. Listen to our mini episode where the discussion about this movie continues. You can give us a call at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. I'll answer all your questions about this movie or even about your life. And make sure you jump on the Earwolf message boards about this movie. We do read it. We will pick the best ones for our mini episodes. Also, if you like How Did This Get Made and you want to wear it or put it as a sticker or have it as a cell phone case, head over to tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM, tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM, and you can check out all of our amazing merch like Put Her in a Bra or the Jason Zardoz shirt, which I particularly love. A big thanks to Kelly Alto, Avril Halley, July Diaz, Nate Kiley, and Leanna Waldron, all who come together and put this show and help me do the show every single week. But more importantly, everybody here at Earwolf, their amazing engineering team that puts together this episode, makes it sound absolutely flawless. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm not going to explain where. You can figure it out, but it's pretty much HDTGM. And if you want to hear our back catalog, that's right. We only have 50 episodes available right now for free, but our back catalog is available on Stitcher. You can hear every episode that we've ever done commercial free. And if you sign up now, you can even hear this episode commercial free. How about that? Make sure you rate and review us on the iTunes. We like that. It's fun and we have a good time with it. And make sure you tune in to our mini episode next week because we're going to tell you what we're watching. See you next week. Bye for now.
Hey everyone, Scott Aukerman here. Are you a fan of the podcast You Talking You Two to Me? Well, I hope you are. If you are, make sure to check out Adam Scott and I have a new show, Are You Talking REM Re-Me? That's right. It's a brand new show with a brand new title. Join us as we discuss the music and impact of the band REM through an album-by-album analysis. That sounds very nerdy, but it's actually fun. We break down everything and nothing about the band. Listen to the limited series Are You Talking REM? Re-Me, Wednesdays on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Earwolf.com. This is good rock and roll. Music!
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer.
And I'm Amy Nicholson.
And we have a brand new podcast called Unspooled, where we are watching the 100 greatest films of all time.
Voted on by the AFI. We're going to be starting at number one, Citizen Kane, jumping to number 100 with Ben-Hur, and doing films that we've never even watched before.
And we'll be talking to experts, whether it's a cinematographer or a stuntman. We're going to get behind these movies and figure out what makes them so great. So if you like the way this sounds, why don't you subscribe right now to Unspooled, wherever you listen to your podcasts.